just introduce her briefly. Dr. Michael is trained as a medical ethnobotanist and currently serves as the Associate Director of the Urban Medicine Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Medicine and as Assistant Professor in the Department of Medical Education and the School of Public Health. In addition to her interest in educating health professionals about health disparities and social determinants of health, her international interests reside mainly in Latin America, where she collaborates to train community health workers in public health. She also works with health practitioners in the U.S. and abroad to educate them on local traditional medical practices and herbal beliefs and how they may affect the patient-practitioner relationship. And this morning she's going to be talking to us about integrating policy and advocacy in medical education.
Thank you. Good morning. So I put that in my introduction because I have so many interests, and I think if any of them, you know, tag anybody else's interests, this is what this is all about, is collaborating. So I always like to open that opportunity to talk about other things that are not going to be present on these slides today. So I'm going to get started and talk a little bit about policy and advocacy in a curriculum for medical students. So I don't have anything to disclose in terms of relationships, but I will disclose that I'm not a morning person and I've been sick all week, so we'll see how this goes. I think in New Orleans it should be illegal to open anything before 10, but here we are. So I think that's, you know, almost everything is legal in New Orleans. I think they need a couple of illegal things. I think that should be one of them. But anyway, so I thought I had it. This is actually not the most current slideshow presentation. This is an old one. I uploaded something yesterday. They said it was saved, and it doesn't seem to be. No. So I'm just going to have to, I've got some of the additionals here. I mean, it has the essence, so I'll just add what was not uploaded. So I had a presentation outline slide, and I wanted to give you just a heads up of what I'm going to talk about today. So the first thing is kind of the debate. Some people do not believe that physicians or health professionals in general belong in the arena of policy and advocacy, and so I want to kind of make the argument of why I think that they do belong there and why it's important. I'm going to just kind of define some definitions of what physician advocacy is, and then use our program, the Urban Medicine Program at UIC, as a case study example of how to bring policy and advocacy into medical education. I want to also, as the previous presenter said, I want to emphasize that this is an example of physicians, and I'm focusing obviously on physicians, but for those of you in other healthcare fields, I think we can all argue that there should be a role both, you know, to advocate for patients in the role of the policy arena. So I think this can be adapted to other disciplines as well. And then I'm going to give some examples of student projects related to policy and advocacy. So, you know, the debate is, just in general, does this even belong in medical education for health professionals at all? They've got all these responsibilities. Is this something that you can add to it? And some of the debate around it, too, if you believe that it belongs, where does it belong? Is it in undergraduate or graduate medical education? Should it be a mandatory part of education? Should it be for every student, every resident, to show a little bit of competency in not only what, you know, what is patient advocacy, but how do you take that into changing systems of healthcare? Or do you focus on those that already have an interest and you help cultivate that and bring them up to become leaders in the fields of policy and advocacy? You know, is it beyond the scope at all for a health professional to be involved in this? So some say, it's a noble pursuit for some, but it should remain occasional and optional. It shouldn't be mandatory. Others say it's absolutely a mandatory part, an integral part of medicine, and that's American Board of Internal Medicine, American Medical Association, and others do believe that this should be an integral part of medical education. So why would I say that I think it's important? Well, one is because health professionals in general, and certainly doctors for right or for wrong, are given these places of power and influence, right? So people learn to listen to them. Maybe for the wrong reasons sometimes, but they do have that role in our society, and I think the important thing is to maximize that so that their voices are heard on larger systemic issues in the healthcare system that need to be changed. They understand how the socioeconomic characteristics of our lives are intertwined in our healthcare. They see the macrocosms of the issues in our world at the microcosmic level because they're in those patient care rooms and they hear a lot of really
You know, they have a lot of patient confidentiality. They hear things, but they're also, if they have that awareness developed, they see how those individual issues are just a larger part of issues going on in communities. As I mentioned, they're clear and visible leaders, so they can play that role. They also can serving as public witnesses, as I mentioned, to the influences of social determinants of health and health status. Some believe it's a professional obligation, that it's an ethical and professional responsibility to consider the health of the whole community that they serve. And that it's a type of social contract, that they have these special statuses and privileges in exchange for the responsibility to promote the health of our societies. So just a couple of definitions on physician advocacy. It's been defined as an action by a physician to promote those social, economic, educational, and political changes that ameliorate the suffering and threats to human health and well-being that he or she identifies through his or her professional work and expertise. And to me, it's almost like if you maintain the realm of clinical practice and you see these big systemic issues and you just sit there as an individual and don't do something to bring on more change, I do think it's a responsibility that physicians have. And if you give them the tools to navigate the system and understand the system, they will want to go there. They want to do something with the injustices that they see, but they feel like, politician, what is that? It's a whole, I mean, when I talk policy and advocacy in our program, it's way far out for these guys. But we bring it back down to their, you know, to a place where they can digest it and understand, oh, this is how I can fit in. Another definition is it's experiences that improve a physician's ability to advocate along a continuum from issues arising from individual patients to those affecting healthcare policy. And I think the longer people are in the healthcare field, they see this, they get these barriers. I'm treating this patient, but they go back out into an environment with no safe streetlights, with no, you know, there's no green space. These are things that do affect health and that they can play a role in making those changes. So some of the main goals of physician advocacy training are to gain an understanding of the complex healthcare system, including its limitations. It amazes me that physicians are not trained in the affordable healthcare. They don't understand Medicaid. They don't understand Medicare. They don't understand the systems that are going to dominate and dictate what they do as a practitioner. And I think they're completely disillusioned when they get out there and they realize, I'm not an individual. I'm working under a system that is telling me how to practice, and I have no idea how that system works. Another is to learn how to affect positive changes within this system and to learn how to recognize, promote, and move forward agendas that affect the health of a service population. So before I get into how we fit this into the curriculum, I want to mention that what I mean by a physician, an advocate, and a policymaker is, you know, we have physicians that serve, you know, they do testimonies of individual patients, and they'll sit. It's those stories that they can tell of my, you know, this patient came in, and, you know, they have sickle cell patients, they were affected by this disparity, they weren't given the medication, whatever. Those personal stories touch everybody's heart. It makes a difference when you're hearing these bland testimonies and you can make it something very personal, and they can really play that role. So that's directly. Other ones are advisors to legislators that are looking for health issues to bring, you know, and they can say, hey, I'm seeing this in my clinic, and we need to address this as a larger issue. It's amazing how many politicians are looking for issues in the realm of health, but they don't know what they are because they're not in the hospitals day in and day out. They're not seeing patients. So there's really a role that they can play. So I'm going to talk about it in the context of the urban medicine program at UIC. This is a specialized curriculum that's in addition to their medical school training. But I do believe that this component can be pulled out and used as some type of a selective or an elective for all medical students. So it's kind of a piece of it that could really be pulled out. So the mission of the urban medicine program is to prepare physician leaders to serve urban underserved communities. And in terms of the advocacy part, our mission is to capitalize on the access that physicians have to power and privilege by instilling in our future doctors a responsibility to use this power and privilege to advocate for the needs of urban populations. So we have over 100 applicants for 24 slots per cohort, and they apply to our program. They have to get into the general medical school, but we select those that have recognized desire in serving underserved communities. So our kind of philosophy is that this type of curriculum is not for everybody, perhaps. If you sprinkle it into a regular curriculum and nobody's interested, then those that aren't interested are like, turn off, which medical students are very good at turning things. I've heard that. I'm done. The other is those that are really interested and just get the sprinkle, they're frustrated because they don't have enough of the tools to do something with it. So we feel like we want to bring like-minded individuals together, nurture that desire to serve underserved communities. A lot of them, more and more all the time, I get applications saying, I want to understand policy, I want to be a leader, I want to be involved in politics, and I don't know how. And the other is, this curriculum is regardless of specialty. You don't have to be going into family medicine. We believe that no matter what physician you are in a community, that understanding the social determinants of health and bigger issues is going to make a difference in how you treat patients. So we have goals of developing practitioners. I'll explain a little bit more in detail what these different areas are. They are also patient advocates. We also believe in them being community-based collaborative researchers. And the policymaker role is what I'm going to, policymaker or policy engaged is what I'm going to talk about today. So the main tenets or the main aspects of our curriculum is that we want them to understand the social determinants of health and how they contribute to health disparities, understanding health conditions in urban underserved areas, utilizing culturally appropriate and sensitive communication skills, developing competency in community-based collaborative program planning, evaluation, and research. If you're going to do this kind of work and you don't know how to engage in community, believing that communities are the experts in what their needs are, so you don't go in as a physician in practice and say, I'm going to do this, you really need to be receptive and listen. So we train them to engage and collaborate and identify needs of a community in a collaborative way. And we engage them in multidisciplinary teamwork as well. So these are our curricular themes of the entire four-year curriculum. It's a spiral curriculum, so we touch upon these issues through all 4 years of medical school, 6 to 8 seminars in M1 and M2 year, online modules in the third year to stay connected, and then the fourth year is this 2-week policy and advocacy forum that I'm going to talk about. I'm happy. I've got plenty of information, obviously, on the program itself if you're interested. I just wanted to put it, you know, nested in the context of a large, the program that we're running. So here's how, as I, what I just mentioned, how we set up the curriculum. And I want to focus on the arrow at the bottom. Students work with community-based organizations for all 4 years of medical school as teams. So they do a ranking where they rank which organization they want to work with. Those organization, the identified mentors in response say, yes, we have a partner fair, a meet and greet of the organizations. Students rank their choices. The partners respond and help identify those teams of medical students. And they stay in that community organization for all 4 years. They do an asset mapping assignment. So they really get to know the community and how the community affects individual patient issues. And so in the M4 year is when we do our 2-week policy and advocacy forum, which I'm obviously focusing on today. So this is kind of an overview of how the curriculum goes through all 4 years, and a breakdown of you know, how it progresses. And so there's the policy and advocacy forum. And I just want to mention, too, that I do believe that this would serve as a third or fourth year elective for all medical students. We're thinking about expanding this piece and offering it to more students. I also think that it could, you know, fulfill the role for other types of health professionals. So just getting into the nitty-gritty of what it is, we basically, each day is a issue of health disparity that there's been a lot of current interest or long-term interest, such as the criminal justice system, environmental health, maternal and child health, and so forth. And so I'll give you an example of who we bring in for those. But we do start and open it in the context of the entire healthcare system. And we do focus on federal aid for underserved populations, since those are the one, you know, where the intention is that they're going to go and serve those populations. And then the second week, we do a lot of skill building. So we basically want them to understand that if they're a physician and they see, you know, one patient or a number of patients with a variety of issues, right? It could be anything. It could be, you know, a lack of a good high school. It could be, you know, in the area that's causing a lot of high school dropouts and teen pregnancy. It could be unsafe, you know, or not green space or whatever. And basically, by being in the community, they identify these larger issues that are affecting their ability to can recommend something, but if they can't go and actually do that in their community because they don't have the resources, then that's where the policy advocacy comes in. And so the tools are to understand what advocacy is, and then and then get them to think about their community project and house and identify some advocacy issues that then could be brought through the policy system towards change, and I'll explain that in a minute. We also take field trips like to the Chicago Department of Public Health. You know, obviously there's some MDs on that board, and they break out with the students afterwards and talk about their role and the role you can play in public health, on boards of health, and so forth. So the objectives overall are to understand the basics of how issues get into the policymaking agenda and those actors and institutions that are involved in that, ask them to critically examine the role of the physician in identifying, developing, and promoting political agendas, comprehending and reflecting upon individual leadership styles and capacities that develop that leader that can make those changes. We ask them to identify policy issues and advocacy activities at the local Chicago community level. So we give these larger advocacy 101, policy 101. Okay, this is what you would do. Here's, you've been in this community. Identify a policy issue. Identify a systems barrier. What would you go? And we give them this, now find a coalition that would be interested in that issue. When you align with that coalition, what could you do? And we give them, I'll explain a little bit, we ask them to write, a final product would be a letter to the editor. You could do a, I'll give you some examples of the students, student projects. So we give them the tools and ask them to complete it as it relates to the community they've been in for the past 4 years. The daily structure, we you know, have assignments prior to give them an understanding of like the criminal justice system in general. Then we introduce state and local issues. So we'll bring in a coalition, we'll bring in an organization, and that serves as the case study of the issue related to the topic. And then, so we go through the case, how was this issue identified? Who brought it to the table? Who came around the table to support it? How did it get into, you know, create a policy? How did it get into legislation? How did it get passed? So these are just a sample of some of our collaborators. I did a postdoc in public health, so I have a lot of people from public health I bring in. We have had state legislators. We've had a variety of different coalitions, nonprofit organizations, and physician advocates. So we bring in those physicians that have, you know, that worked in communities that are leaders to give them an example. This is possible. You can practice and also play a larger role. So just a breakdown of just an example of like of one day. We talk about the ACA and how it impacts and is going to impact physicians working in underserved areas. We talk about, you know, public aid for women and children, and we talk about the example of how allied health professionals like community health workers can be a team in the healthcare system. These are just also some other examples. We bring in, you know, examples like nonprofits like National Alliance on Mental Illness training police officers to recognize when somebody, instead of the emergency room, when they're really having a mental breakdown and that they actually need to go and get mental health care. So these are, you know, how do you work with the team to avoid, you know, both individual level issues as well as larger community issues. Criminal justice system, again, very grassroots organizations, first responders, after a shooting, they go and they meet the person who's gotten shot in the hospital, try and prevent the retaliation that often happens after somebody is injured in that kind of issue so that further injuries don't occur. So just an example of what's out there in the community that they can support and get involved in. Again, another example in terms of maternal and child health. So sometimes we'll use a resolution and we'll use that as a case study to talk about how these issues got through the policymaking agenda. And then after 2 weeks, they should gain skills in community organizing, how to communicate with national, state, and local regulators. So we'll have like a two-minute, a politician will come in and say, okay, 2 minutes, what's your speech? What's your issue? Convince me right now that this needs to be changed in your community. We give them that role-playing to really get used to what is, it's a whole different culture. And it's one that they think they can never step into. So we give them examples so that they can realize, oh, I can do this. I can be a part of this. So I want to get into, these are the tools that we give them. They can choose one of these related to their community to develop further, and they need to turn it in and as well as present it to the group. So this is one related to one of my students developed a bilingual training for hairstylists to recognize the signs of domestic violence in a Latino neighborhood and to refer to Mujeres Latinas en Acción. And so she wrote, you know, very personally, I'm a fourth-year medical student from Columbia. You know, I'm supporting the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women's Act. This is another kind of more of a community flyer, you know, to screen for domestic violence and the importance of every physician assessing if that's a part of somebody's home life. This was a fact sheet for Pipeline to Health Professions for Latinos, asking to increase the percentage of state contributions related to education. A student project to improve follow-up care for patients with diabetes that have been lost to follow-up care. He believed that a summer festival fundraiser in the community would be a way to get people out, get people moving, and informed in a very interactive and fun way. So he developed a fundraiser proposal for that project. So those are just some examples, and hopefully we have a couple minutes for questions. So thank you. Yes. Thank you. I'm actually deputy director of the AHEC of Illinois, and so we have centers throughout Illinois, and there's a rural medicine program at University of Illinois, and so we actually want to kind of have that conversation with students that are going to be working rural underserved areas and urban. We haven't made that happen yet, but it's